The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You are tuned in to Monday's edition of the podcast where the racing comes from Plumpton, Kempton and Wolverhampton domestically. Join us right here on William Hill's Racing Radio from 12:30 to hear all of the action. In the meantime, my name is Sam Norris and joining me on Monday's edition of the podcast is Alistair Whitehouse-Jones to take a look at some of the action. How are you today, Alistair?
Not bad, thank you, Sam.
Good stuff. Saturday, first on the agenda. Good day's racing on Saturday. The big race of the day, of course, the Hennessy. Won by Many Clouds. Not the most vintage renewal of the Hennessy, it's fair to say. What did you make of that one?
Yeah, I don't think it was the best. If you look at the top weights, you know, fairly exposed horses. I don't think there was a Gold Cup winner lurking. If there was, then he probably finished, well, the potential Gold Cup would finish last in the end, of course, Jackie Dam. And I suppose he's a classic example that you should always punt with your eyes and not your ears, because I think the confidence emanating out of Ireland was fairly infectious. You know, I mean, Ruby Walsh had been quoted as saying that, you know, he thought he'd got a lot in hand off that sort of mark. So, you know, strictly on the form, he'd got a lot to prove. But I think a lot of people sort of got lured in by the confidence coming out of Ireland, and fingers were burnt. But take nothing away from the winner. Many Clouds, he's always threatened to be a good horse. They thought he'd run well in the RSA at Cheltenham last season, and he was a bit unlucky, really. Got brought down, and they must be thinking now, given where Smad Place finished yesterday, that he'd have had a hell of a chance, you know, but for that incident. Whether he's a Gold Cup horse is highly doubtful. He's you know, I think could well be a Grand National winner in the future, but unless the ground came up really deep at Cheltenham, and that's very rarely the case, you know, on the Friday, then I'd struggle to see him winning. But yesterday was the day that mattered, and fair play, you know, and great for Oliver Sherwood, who, you know, he's had some lean years, but he was a top trainer many years ago, and he's, you know, the last sort of five or six seasons, he's slowly but surely crawled his way back, you know, to not the top of the tree, can't compete with your big boys, but he's getting good horses again, and that was a very popular winner yesterday.
Yeah, it's good to see, absolutely. And the other big race of the day then, yesterday, came from Newcastle, the Fighting Fifth. This one won by the strongly fancied Irving. And again, this wasn't the best Fighting Fifth that we've ever seen, was it?
No, I think you'll be saying that a lot in the next 10 years. Yeah. The Fighting Fifth's going to struggle, I think, to... You look at the horses that have won it in recent years, well, not in recent years, but down, you know, the last, say, you know, last couple of decades, it's been won by some really good horses, and yet, with, you know, you look at Forheen and the new one, both running on the same weekend last year. Now, there's a lot of competition now for these top hurdlers, and I'm afraid Newcastle is going to suffer. And yesterday's renewal wasn't the best. You know, it was won by a horse who is a progressive hurdler. We still don't know for definite how good he is. Clearly failed to show his true form when down the field in the Supreme last year. And if you take that blip out of the equation, then he's not done a lot wrong. So could be looking back and saying that Irving was a really good winner of it. But yeah, if you look at the bigger picture, I think the Fighting Fifth's going to find it a bit of a struggle in the next few years. But as for yesterday's race, it was one, you know, Irving did everything right, really. Jumped cleanly, quickly and accurately. And he beat a good horse in the Quinn horse, or Destreval, who, you know, looks as though she's going to go for the mare's race at Cheltenham. I think William Hill cut her to about 8-1 for that. And, you know, that seems an obvious target.
Yeah, absolutely. And 100 grade one wins for Paul Nicholas as well yesterday. So a nice little milestone for him.
Indeed. Yeah, 100 grade ones. God, that takes some doing.
Yeah, it certainly does.
I don't see Irving beat him. I think he's 16s for the champion. He's not my idea of the champion hurdle winner. I think others will find more up the hill than he.
Yep, fair enough then. Anything else really catch your eye from Saturday before we move on to take a look at Monday?
I think we've got to mention Hey Big Spender. Can't believe he went off at 12-1 for the rehearsal. I mean, I didn't think of backing him, but at 12-1, it was just a bizarre price. Why he went off that big is beyond me. I mean, he beat Vintage Star the year before and he was sevens. And he's one of those horses that is better with a big weight bossing inferior opposition than he is in a better race with a lower weight. Brings out the best in him, and a red letter day of course for Colin Tizard, and particular Brendan Powell, who is in his first full season as stable jockey for the Tizard Yard. And you know, he needed a high profile winner, and to get a treble on a good card like that will do his confidence the world of good.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic stuff then. Right, we'll take a look at Monday's action then. We picked out three from Kempton to look at on Monday. The first of those comes up at 3:20. This one, a nursery ran over 7 furlong, class 5, the grade, and just 5 runners going down to post there. Who catches the eye?
Well, Mikado's going to be favourite, I think, the Hannon horse. You know, it's got solid claims, beat Chetan, who's gone on to better things since, in a nursery at Chepstow. But the one I like purely from a value perspective here is the James Given trained Dark War, who his final run in maidens was his best, and then although he didn't really fire on his nursery debut at Lingfield, that was an odd race. They started it with a flag, and it was just a messy start. This horse got behind, they didn't go much of a pace, and it was basically dominated by two horses who, you know, raced close to the pace, whereas Dark War was in behind, never really got the run of the race at all. And I don't think that told us much at all, really, with regards to his future in nurseries. So off a mark of 68, given that his final run in maidens, you know, represented improvement, I think he could be a bit of a dark one here. And they've put blinkers on. So, you know, I think he'll be in the region of 92, 5-1, and those sort of odds in a 5-runner race, I think we can take a chance.
Okay, then, fair enough. Dark War, then number 3 in the first one that we'll look at for Alistair. Next up, then, is the 450 from Kempton. This one, a class 6 handicap, ran over a mile. 10 runners line up to contest this one. Who's standing out here?
Yeah, the one I'm going to go for here is number 2, El Mirage, the Dean Ivory horse. A 4-year-old filly who was in really good form, finished second on 4 consecutive occasions, and then had a bad day at the office basically here last time when they didn't go much of a pace, and this horse pulled way too hard, basically pulled his way out of contention. Way out of contention, and we know she's better than that. And the beauty about Monday's race is that there's a couple of horses here who I think could well take each other on in Movie Magic and Fern Grove, and if they put some pace to the race, then, you know, El Mirage is going to settle a lot better, and if she shows her form, then I think she's going to be bang there. I mean, if you take that latest run out of the equation, as I said, there were excuses, then, you know, she's fairly consistent, and that counts for a lot, you know, at this sort of modest level. And you know, in the likelihood of them going very fast up front early, I think this horse can settle and deliver a telling challenge late on. So El Mirage is the selection.
Okay, then El Mirage in the 450 then for Dean Ivory and Jim Crowley, second on 5 of her last 7 starts, so hoping she can go one better in that 450. The final race then on today's podcast is the 520 at Kempton, class 4 handicap, over 7 furlongs. Who do you like the look of?
Yeah, I'm going to play a fairly straight bat here and go for Holiday Magic, the Charlie Appleby trained gelding, who is seeking a 4-timer at the track, which takes some doing. First win was in a maiden, that was over a mile, then won a handicap, and then back over 7 furlongs last time was positively ridden, and showed a really good attitude to finish the job. William Buick was on that day, and he was really complimentary about this horse afterwards. Has gone up £6, which I guess is harsh enough really given the manner of victory, but this horse has got an absolutely tremendous attitude, is definitely progressing, and because the way he goes about his business and the way he wins his races, you know, the handicapper might just struggle to get a grip on him. And although he's going up £6, you know, I just don't see this race unfolding without him being involved. And I take him to defy the handicapper yet again and register the four-timer.
Okay, fair enough then. Hold that magic for Alistair. If you could just remind us then, please, of your three selections from Kempton Park on Monday.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Dark War in the 3.20, El Mirage in the 4.50, and then Holiday Magic in the 5.20.
Thank you very much. There we are then, thoughts of Alistair Whitehouse-Jones on William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. And tune in on Monday from 12.30 for all of the action from Plumpton, Kempton and Wolverhampton. Thank you for joining me on the podcast today, Alistair, and good luck with your selections.
Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.